All right. So if you're still there, then yeah, let's get started then.
There.
Okay. So yeah, so we're holding on Dalit on the days, Elamer of Ashid, 7 lines from the top. Okay, so we're in the middle of figuring. So the Gemara is in the middle of figuring out at this point. We established how we know that Shinri Kodesh, but having in mind it's a different korban, passels it by any of the four avodas. We found Sukkim individually for each one of the four avodas. But then we started discussing the question. What about Shinri Bailin? So that Shinri Bailin passels it when it comes to the Shechita, fine, we can find a positive to that effect. Although, actually, Rashi says that really what it is Shinri Bailin, having in mind a different owner, really should passel it only by the Zrika, only when it comes to the sprinkling of the blood of the Korban. So there's a good deal of discussion, actually, among the Mefarshim, that what the Gemara may mean and what Rashi may mean, therefore, is you're talking about that when the pasuk is saying what by shchita that Shinri Bailin makes it possible would mean if during the shchita you had in mind that later on when it comes to zirkas adam you're planning to do that shalor l'shem bailov, you're planning to do it for somebody else, but not that the shchita itself would make it possible yet when it's shalor l'shem bailov, because as Rashi points out, the kapara isn't really accomplished by the shchita, it's really only accomplished by the zirka. We're still in the middle of figuring out. Actually, as a matter of halacha, I mean, we're still in the middle of figuring out how we know that Shinri Bailin applies to all four avodas. Looking at it from the point of view of how Rashi is saying, and on the face of it, how the Gemara is saying over here in Or Sugya, it seems that it would come out that when we say that Shinri Bailin would passel it, would indeed only be if that Shinri Bailin was such that you had in mind that later on, when it comes to the Zrika, I plan to do that in having in mind somebody else. In other words, according to the way Rashi's saying it, if you were to shech the korban of Reuven, having in mind that it's for Shimon, that in and of itself wouldn't passel it. You were to do the Kabbalah, the Halacha, same thing. Only if, when you did the shechita, you had in mind, I plan, this korban belongs to Shimon, therefore when it comes to the Zrika, I plan eventually to be doing that for Shimon, that's when we'd be implying that it's possible. So it's a concept called machashvin avoda la'avoda, that you can have a machshava during one avoda that applies, that you're thinking of what you're going to do later on during an avoda. From what Rashi is saying on Amud Aleph, it seems that if during the shchita itself you're only having in mind the shchita and you're not thinking ahead to the zrika, when it comes to Shinri Bailin, that wouldn't passel it. The Rambam, actually, since you're asking about the halacha, the Rambam doesn't learn like that. The Rambam seems to say that Shinri Bailin is exactly like Shinri Hashem, exactly like Shinri Kodesh, and therefore even if during the Shchita all by itself you had in mind Shimon instead of Reuven without even reference to the Zrika, from the Rambam it comes out that it would still be possible. And the Meforshim on the Rambam have a bit of a time trying to figure out where the Rambam gets it from, since that seems to be against the implication of our Gemara. There's a couple of different explanations, but one of them boils down to that this our Gemara over here isn't the last word on the subject. There are other Gemaras elsewhere in our Masechta and other Masechtas that bear on this, that the Rambam may have held tell us the final halacha. Here we're just in the middle of arguing how we know in the first place that Shinri Bailin applies somehow or other by all four avodas. So again, so we established that it applies by Shchita, either, as Rashi would say, if during the Shchita you had in mind later on the Zrika, or, as Rambam would say, within the Shchita itself. But how do we know that it applies to all the other three avodas? We tried to say, okay, well, maybe if it applies to Shinri Hashem, it applies to Shinri Bailin. We said that doesn't work, because Shinri Hashem has broader applicability. We said there are four things, and then we reduced them to two things, in which Shinri Hashem has an advantage over Shinri Bailin. Shinri Hashem doesn't apply to Korbanos Tzibur, can happen la'achamisa, etc. So we're still left with the question how we know that Shinri Bailin is going to have an effect with any one of the four avodas. So that's where we're holding. So El Amar Rav Ashi, so no, Rav Ashi says we get it like this. The Pasuk says, Omakra, the Nirtza Loi L'chaper Olav, the Pasuk says when you bring an Ola, and the same thing applies to other Korbanos as well, it will be accepted for him to bring about a kapara for him. That implies for him, not for somebody else. So there you have it. It's not just the Shchita, it's also the Zrika. So now we have two of the four avodas. How we see it applies to the other two, we're going to have to get to later. But for the moment, at least, we know two out of the four avodas that Shinui Ba'alim applies to.
Why can't you apply that to all the four avodas?
Because so far you only have it says by Zrika and by Shchita and by Zrika. Again, like we said earlier in the Sugya, what just because you know it by Shchita and by Zrika doesn't necessarily prove you can apply it to the other avodas as well. Shchita and Zrika are unique in that those are the only ones that you're chayav for if you do them outside the Azara. But they have that stringency. So you can't just use, that's the thing. We tried to figure out back when we were discussing, back when the Gemara was discussing how we know that Shinui Hashem parcels it, or not parcels it, whatever makes it that the owner is not Yotze. We tried to do that. We tried to say, well, okay, it says by Shchita and it says by Zrika, so let's learn from those. And we said that doesn't work because those two apply, those two a person is Chayav Nisa if he does them outside the Azara, Kabbalah and Halacha not. So here we're the same kind of thing. So, but at least so far we have those two, and later on we'll see how we figure out the other two. Okay, but the question is, you're telling me that you're learning from this expression, the nirtza lo l'chaper olav, that olav meaning on him but not on somebody else. So the question is, hai l'hochi u'da'asa. You're telling me that expression comes to teach us that din? Hai midbar lo l'chadetanya. We need those words for a different limud. That it says in a braisa, when it says the nirtza lo l'chaper olav, so what's the word olav adding over here, on him? Rav Shimon, so Rav Shimon says it comes to teach us the difference between the Dorim and the Dovus that we talked about before, that we talked about all the way at the beginning of the Masechta. Esra olav, Rav Shimon says, when you have an obligation for a korban that's on him, in the sense when the person originally said, harei olai, I obligate myself to bring a korban, chayav achriyo, so then he's responsible to make sure that it actually happens, and if the animal dies or otherwise gets disqualified or whatever, then he has to bring another one. The Esra, ene olav, as opposed to if the obligation for the korban is not on him, namely, he didn't say harei olai, he said nedava, he said harei zu, this animal is going to be a korban, ene chayav achriyo, and he's not obligated to see to it, to make up for it if it becomes unavailable. Because, so he says that's what we learn from the word olav. Well, I mean, everybody agrees to that basic concept. Everybody agrees that there is a difference between the Dorim and the Dovus. Rav Shimon is learning it from the word olav over here, and we don't seem to find anybody who disagrees with him on that. We know there's a difference between Neder and the Dovus. We've quoted the pasuk before, and we're going to quote it later on in our sugya about Moses Pasecha Tishmer. So we know that there's such a thing as neder, and we know there's such a thing as nedava. We have that, and a few other psukim. But Rav Shimon is saying, from this word olav, meaning on him, is where we learn what is the fundamental difference between them. And the fundamental difference is, did you take the obligation on yourself, or was an chayvus gavra, in other words, to use the lumbus terminology, or is it a chayvus chefter that you said to begin with, this animal is designated for a korban? So we're using the word olav for that limud. And Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi my time, and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says, what's the logical reason for the distinction? Given the Amar Olai, because when he says the obligation is on me, commander Torun Layakasme, Dami, it's the equivalent of as if like he has that obligation resting on his shoulders. And until he makes sure that the obligation is discharged, then he hasn't fulfilled it, and then he has to do another one. So the point is, we're using the word olav to keep up that concept,
and therefore we cannot use.
And therefore we can't have it available to teach us Rav Ashi's din about that the korban has to be shed, and that the blood of the korban has to be sprinkled with same by love. I mean, by the way, I mean, you know, we have the basic concept that the difference between a neder and a nedava, you can learn from other places also. It's really what we're doing more is we're saying that there's kind of two phases in bringing a korban. One is you're responsible to make sure that the korban is actually brought to the Bais Mikdash intact, and the other is that then at that point really the responsibility shifts to the kohen to see to it that the avodas of the korban are done properly. The point is, Rav Shimon is saying, based on this word olav, you learn over here not only that you're responsible for part A to make sure the korban gets to the Bais Mikdash intact, you're also if part B, which after all isn't in a certain sense your responsibility anymore because it's the Kohen's responsibility at that point, but if part B doesn't take place properly, you're still going to have to bring, if it's a Nedner, if it's Harei Olai, you're still going to have to bring another Karban. So that we wouldn't know from elsewhere. That we, if you only had, for example, the Pasuk Moses Pasecha, you would say, okay, well then, you know, fine, I'm responsible to make sure. I vowed to bring an Ola, so okay, my responsibility goes until I bring the animal to the Kohen and hand it over to them for Shechita, and after that, it's their responsibility. So no, from this word Ola, we learn not like that, even if they mess up and do Shini Hashem or Shini Bailim or whatever kind of tool, because it was a nether and because it's Ola, you're still going to be responsible. Anyway, the point is, again, back to the point. The point is that how are we learning Rav Ashi's din then, if we already have the word used for something else? So the answer is Rav Ashi is near to the chapter comma. You're right. Rav Ashi is not actually learning from the word olav. He's learning from the loy from the previous three words in the pasuk. The near to loy lachaper. It will be accepted for him to atone to be a kapara. So therefore, again, loy lachaper means it should be a kapara for him and not for somebody else. So there you go. So now we can learn out from the pasuk. We can learn out both concepts. From the near to loy lachaper, we learn that you can't have shinui bailim when it comes to the zikah. And when it and from the word olav, we learn about the concept of that you're responsible for the that if it's a nether, then you're responsible for it until it's actually drawn to the valid carbon. Okay, so far so good. Ashkechon zicho zicho. Fine. So now we see that this concept of shinui bailim applies and will disqualify the carbon in the case of zicha, which is the shchita, and the zicha. Kabbalah menolam. Next, how do we know it applies to Kabbalah? Again, we got four avodas. So it came, let's say, like you just said, Leilach Mizricha or Zricha. Well, let's learn it by Malatinu from Sechting and Zricha. Can't. Because like I said before, Malus Zricha or Zricha, so can't have heard of Sechayav and Elag Lachut. As like I mentioned before, as the Gemara had said earlier in the Sylvia, Sechting and Zricha are unique. They have a greater string. They have a greater Chumrah because you're Chayav on them. If you're Chayav, a person is Chayav Nisa for them if he doesn't outside the Azara. Kabbalah and Halach are not.
What do you get if you do Kabbalah and Halacha outside.
If you do Kabbalah and Halacha outside the Azara, at most you might get Malkus. At most you might get Malkus. Later on, at the end of the Masechta, in the next to last parak of the Masechta, we're going to be dealing in detail with the rules of what avoid that the person is and isn't Chayav Nisa for doing outside the Azara.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so for now, we don't really need to get into that exactly. For now, the important point to be aware of is just that the two avodas, at least when it comes to an animal carbon, we'll deal specifically over there with when it comes to menachos and things like that, what things a person will be chayav for outside the azara. But when it comes to an animal carbon, you have two of the four avodas, shchita and zrika, that a person is chayav for. In addition, a person can also be chayav for something which is not one of the four avodas, but usually takes place at a carbon anyway, namely burning the pieces of it on the Mizbeach. But that's it. That's it. Kabbalah and Halacha of the blood are not considered avoidous that a person is chayav on if he doesn't bachot. He's not chayav karas for him.
And they call
it. So therefore, you can't say. So you could say zicha and zicha have a chumrah because you chayav karas for them for doing them bachot. Therefore, they have to be done with same violence. But you could argue Kabbalah and Halacha don't have that rule about Bachot. Therefore, maybe they don't have the rule about Shinei Bailim either. So no, Ela Amar Rav Ashi. So no, Rav Ashi says the reason why it applies to Kabbalah as well, Ashi Me'il Nazir. We learn it by a binyan av from what it says by the El Nazir, that it's from the ram that's brought of the shlomim by a Nazir. Dichtiv, namely the pasuk says by the Nazir, that's the Ayo Yasa Zebach Shlomim. It says that the ram he should make as a korban of shlomim, and he should make as addressed to the kohen that the kohen is responsible for making for doing the avodah of this korban, the same shlomim, having in mind that it's a shlomim. And in the shinui kodesh, now you don't have to be told that it has to be done the same shlomim, and you can't do it as some other korban. The nachalim mehalsim, we already have the limud that we had before from. We already had the limud, the limudim that we did on Amud Aleph that the Gemara had done on Dalet Amud Aleph to show that Shinui Hashem topples it by any of the four avodas. Therefore, Shinui Rim, Shinui Bailim. Therefore, instead, you what?
No, go ahead.
Therefore, Yeah, therefore, instead, you can repurpose this pasuk to teach us about shinei violin. So there you go, then. So it means that everything that's done, so not everything that's done, we're not up to everything that's done yet, but at least what it means is the asiyah, the actual doing, namely the sprinkling of the blood, has to be done. Well, so again, the pasuk is saying l'shem shlomim, but what we're doing is we're repurposing that for l'shem violin, because l'shem shlomim we already know. from before, from Hamakar of Adama Shlomim.
Can we use l'shem shlomim? I mean, twice, because even if we repurpose it for something else, we're still using it twice.
No, we're not, actually. That's the thing. We never learned anything from the El Melzid yet. We never learned anything from the pasuk Yasa Zevach Shlomim Lasem. So we have the pasuk that we quote. We have the pasuk that we quoted on Omud Aleph to say that we're said the one who sprinkles the blood of the shlomim, that has to be done the same shlomim. So that teaches us that shinui hashem topples it by a shlomim, or again, not topples it, but makes it that the owner is not yotze, whatever. And now we're saying the same thing applies to shinui violin, because we have another pasuk that says that the asiyah, that the doing, which means the sprinkling, has to be done the same shlomim. So we use one of those circum to teach us shinui hashem, and the other one to teach us shinui violin.
And the second one is zevach shlomim.
Zevach shlomim was over here it says zevach shlomim. Here we're not learning something from the word zevach. The Gemara is going to ask that over here. The Gemara is going to ask that Yasa Zevach Shlomim. The Gemara is going to ask now, on the face of it, maybe that means only that the Shrit has to be done with same Shlomim. How do we know that it applies to the other Avodas as well? But up until, before we get to that question, we're assuming that Yasa means that the Zrika has to be done with same Shlomim. And again, since we don't need it to teach us the same Shlomim, then instead we repurpose it for the same violin.
Okay.
But now comes the question, Amalei Achavar Ba'abel Rava, Ema, why don't we rather say as follows, Yaseh Klal, maybe say the word Yaseh he should do with a Klal, meaning that everything that's done with the Torah and the Shchita and the Kabbalah and everything has to be done with Shema, but then it continues Zevach Prat, and it says the word Zevach, which means Shchita, which is a Prat, it's specific, and therefore all you have is klal prat, and the rule is in the klal al-masa prat. It means that the general rule is limited only to that one prat. Therefore, it means zikha ein, maybe achrin eloi. Therefore, it means only the shchita. In other words, we say, what is included in the yasa of the prophet? Only the zevach, only the shchita. So therefore, you would come out that only the shchita has to be done the same violin, and it wouldn't matter the other avodas.
Right.
The answer is no. Yes, but if it had said that he should do the shlomim and shecht it, then you'd be right. Then you'd have the word yaseh shlomim together would make up a klal, and zevach would make up a prat, and therefore, yeah, you'd have a klal of prat. Hashtag, yaseh, yaseh, zevach, shlomim, but now when it says it in the order, he should do a slaughtering of shlomim, then what it is have a klal she'en in molid. What you come out with, the word yaseh by itself is not a klal, because the word yaseh itself doesn't tell you what you're supposed to be doing. The word yaseh by itself doesn't, it's an incomplete klal. So you have the klal is started, then it's interrupted with the prat, then the same klal is finished, and by the way, that doesn't make it a klal of prophet klal. That's the klal of prophet klal would be where you have a complete klal, then a complete prat, then another complete klal. Here what you have is the prat breaks into the middle of the klal. So that's not a real klal of prat then.
To make it a real klal of prat,
you would have to have a complete klal before the prat is started.
Which is Yaseh Zevach Shlomim.
That would be if it said Yaseh Shlomim Zevach.
I mean, Zevach.
Yaseh Shlomim then together would make up a klal that everything that's done with the shlomim, and then the word Zevach would be the prat. Specifically, when we say everything, we mean specifically the shchita. But like this is not like that. The pasuk doesn't say Yaseh Shlomim Zevach. It says Yaseh Zevach Shlomim. Therefore, we call klal she'en in mole. So if you have an incomplete klal before it breaks in with the prat, aimed on an oyster, the klal of prat. Such a thing is not treated as a klal of prat. So therefore, you don't have a klal prat. Therefore, what you have over here is just the opposite. You have here a binyan av. You have here the beginning of a binyan av to say that to say that it applies to the zrika. Again, we go back to our initial assumption that yasta over here means specifically the doing of the, it specifically means the doing, namely the zrika.
Logical.
Yeah. Okay. Ravina Omar. Ravina says, I don't need that answer. What?
And therefore?
So back to what we said before. So far we're good. So far then we know that, what we're saying is that all the doing. No, so we're not just talking about zricha anymore. Again, we have from the pasuk that we said before at the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph. We had over there where it said what he called of Sar Zevach Todas Shlomo. Where we said over there that means that the zevach shchita has to be done the same violin. So say zricha l'shem toida. Again, we used it instead of l'shem toida, we used it for l'shem violin. Zricha we have so far, we have Rabbi Ashi's limud from Venir to Lilachapur Olav. Now we're trying to figure out how we know it applies to Kabbalah. So we're saying, because when it says yasa zevach shlomim, it means that all the asiyas, all the doings have to be the same shlomim. And again, since we don't need the pasuk to tell us that it's the same shlomim, we know that already, then it must be that it's telling us that it has to be the same bialik. So we thought to shlug that up by saying that maybe yasa does not mean all the asiyas, it means only the zicha, because we figured a klal of that. But we're saying, no, we don't have a klal of prat after all. What we have is a klal, where the klal is interrupted by the prat, but that's not a klal of prat. So therefore, we have a klal that says yaseh, and therefore it means all the asiyas.
Since we don't have a klal of prat, we just have
If we had a klal of prat, we would limit it only to the zvicha. But now that we have only a klal, then good, then it includes all the avodas. Or to say, call us the yosef, that all of its doings should be, yeah. Okay. Ravina Omar, Ravina says, I don't need that answer. Well, Olam Donin, no, you could argue that such a thing might be treated as a klal of prat, but the Lashem, chaz of a kolah, but you have the word Lashem at the end of the whole part of the prophet goes, yaseh zevach shlomim Lashem. So the word Lashem is a klal again. It means everything that's done with this carbon that's done with same Hashem, which means everything. So you have a klal of prat, a klal then, says Ravina. Well, a klal of prat, a klal, of course, is different than a klal of prat. It means that now what we do is we generalize from the prat anything that's similar to the prat. Well, then, okay. So then, zicha is one of the four avodas. Kabbalah and halacha and zicha are also among the four avodas. All of them are essential to the validity of the carbon. Therefore, there you go. Then, so there's your limit that you have all four of them.
For Ravina.
For Ravina. So according to the first explanation, according to Rava's explanation, what it is you have a klal, and a klal includes everything. According to Ravina's explanation, you have a klal of prat, a klal, and through that you're also able to include all four of them. However, on Ravina's answer, Amar Rav Acha Megifti to Ravina, so Rav Acha Megifti asked Ravina, how can you judge that as a klal of prat, a klal? But the first klal and the second klal are very dissimilar. The first klal is telling you only the four avodas, only the things that are considered the essential doing of the carbon, the shchita, the kabbalah, the halacha, and the zrika. Klal abastra, whereas the second klal, you're arguing that the word lashem constitutes the second klal. Well, that means kol lashem. The word lashem would mean anything that's done in honor of Hashem. Therefore, we not the shchita shirayim ba'akhtara semurim. So it would mean even the pouring of the shirayim, the leftover blood on the base of the mizbeach. It would mean even the burning of the emurim on the mizbeach, neither of which is essential to the kasherus of the korban. The korban is kasher, even if none of those things were done. On the other hand, they are things that are done with the korban, and they have to be done in honor of Hashem. So you're arguing a klal of prat a klal, but the second klal includes more things than the first klal does. That's not a valid klal of prat a klal.
Valid klal of prat a klal has to be the same from the beginning.
Yeah, for example, in this week's parasha, we have a classic example of a klal of proper klal in this week's parasha. When it says when a mesurda, today's chumash, when a mesurda is one of the stages of his para, is he has to shave all his hair, so you have a klal of proper klal. There, v'hoyer b'yimashim yidalach kolsa, right? You shave all his hair, that's a klal. Then you have a prop, that's roshe v'eskone v'esgabese, his head, his beard, and his eyebrows. And then it continues with another klal, v'eskolsa oreidaleach, and he should shave all his hair. And we say, therefore, that we learn from that, but it means any other place on the body where there's a collection of hair, not just individual hairs here and there, like on the arm, and where it's visible, as opposed to hair in hidden parts of the body, whatever. The point is, that's a classic klal, a proper klal. The second klal, es kol sa'arei, it covers exactly the same ground as the first klal, kol sa'arei. But over here, you're arguing that you have one klal, yaseh, and another klal, lashem, but lashem includes more things than yaseh does.
Hashem includes all the four avodas, he's saying.
It includes more than the four avodas. It includes also other things that are not essential to the validity of the korban. So what happens? If you have a korban, so the four avodas have been done. The blood has been sprinkled on the mizbeach. Now let's say at that point, for whatever reason, they didn't burn the fat on the mizbeach. Or they didn't pour the remaining blood that's left over in the basin. They didn't pour the rest of it on the base of the mizbeach. Korban still kosher. Those aren't the four avodas. But Lashem would include them, because the fact is those are things that are done in honor of Hashem. So that's Rav Achan Yudisti is asking, what kind of klal of proper klal is this? The klal of proper klal is supposed to be that the second klal covers exactly the same ground as the first klal. The answer is no. It's still valid. Hatana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, the klal of proper Dorish Kiai Gavna. We find that the Tana of the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel darshens a klal of proper klal exactly like that. Rashi mentions that the context for that is in Cholin, when it deals with the question, or the Tanna Dvei Rabbi Shmuel is dealing in Cholin with the question, what kind of locusts are kosher? The pasuk mentions four species, but Tanna Dvei Rabbi Shmuel explains over there on the basis of klal across the klal that what the characteristics are of kosher locusts. So we see that, yes, and there we also have an example. What?
Asher the what?
The characteristics of kosher locusts.
Kosher locusts.
The pasuk,
yeah, okay.
Kosher locusts. The pasuk in Parsha Shmini, in last week's parasha, mentions specifically four species of locusts that are kosher, but Tanna Dvei Rabbi Shmuel points out in Cholin that actually what we have over there is a klal of proper klal, and therefore it includes any other species that would meet certain criteria. So there you go. Even though in that particular case also the second klal covers more ground than the first klal, Tanna Dvei Rabbi Shmuel says it doesn't matter. So the same thing over here then. We answer Rav Achan Yudisti. So you're arguing that that's not a valid klal of proper klal, but you see that Tanna Dvei Rabbi Shmuel says it is a valid klal of proper klal. So therefore, given that we have that, then back to our Gemara, klal of proper klal, we have to don elefena prat. So that's the rule. When you have a klal of proper klal, it means that you generalize. You say that what's included in the klal are things in the same category as the prat. Ma prat mefodis avoida. So what's the prat is specified. It's an avoida. The shchita is an avoida. Ubein in lishman, and that has to be accomplished lishman. Akol avoida ubein in lishman. At the same thing, would apply any other avoida. Any other of the four avoidas has to be done lishman. So that's how we would do it, in other words, says Ravina. I don't need Rava's explanation about the klal itself was interrupted by the prat, and therefore it really is a klal without a prat at all. I can say it's a klal, a prat, a klal, and we're generalizing from shchita to everything else.
Elegant.
Okay. What?
Elegant.
Yes. Yeah. The problem with that is, e ma prat mefurish avoid v'chayovan ala b'churish. Fine, but in that case, fine. But you could also say that the prat is specific. It's an avoda for which a person will be chay of kodesh if he does it outside the azara. Shchita is one of those things that a person is chay for. Afkol avoda v'chayov an avar b'chutz. Maybe then, if you're going to include in the prat other things of the same category, maybe they have to be avodas of the type where a person is chay of mitzvah for doing them outside the azara. Therefore, shchita is zrita ein. So fine, you can include shchita, you can include zrita, because that's also in the same category. Kabbalah by halacha loy. We're back to our question before. How do we know to include Kabbalah and halacha? Maybe those are not included in the prat over here, because they're more dissimilar, because you're not chayv nisa for doing them outside.
Even if you say...
So you can say it's a good kral, a proper kral. But how do you know that the kras is meant to include all four of them? Maybe it's only meant to include two out of the four, the ones for which you chayav nisah, yidur, and bachot. Inami, or another possibility, you could ask like this, ma pras mafodis gava aton sofren, you could argue another thing that's special about zicha, about shchita among the avodas, is it's something that has to be done in the north, the yeshna v'chatois apnimius, and it applies even to chatois where the blood is brought inside the hechel, as opposed to halacha and zricha, which don't. So therefore, shchit of a kabbalah ein zricha loy. So by that logic, therefore, you would say that. So now, if you were to learn the klal of prop the klal that way, you would say, fine. Well, which other avoda needs to be done in the north and takes place even with chatois apnimius? The other one that's in that category is kabbalah. So you still have halacha is excluded, and in that case, zikr is excluded because zikr doesn't necessarily take place on the north side of the azara. In fact, for ones like a shlomim and for ones like a shlomim and an ola and whatnot, some of it takes place down the south side because you do it on opposite corners of the mizrach. And zrika doesn't happen, at least not in the same way with chatoris apnimius, because you bring the blood into the heichal and apply it over there. So therefore, you could argue again that the klal of prat klal, maybe again it only includes two of the four avodas, but a different set. It includes zricha, of course, because it says in the pasuk. It would include kabbalah, because that has those same two things in common with zricha, but it wouldn't include the other two.
Right.
So therefore, so you would say shchita of kabbalah ain zricha lai. So only shchita and kabbalah would be included, but not zricha. So how do you know? If we go with Rava's explanation that we have a klal here with no kras and there's no problem, a klal includes everything. But if we go with Rosina's explanation that we have a klal of kras, a klal over here, then how do you know to extend that kras to include all four avodas? One way or another, you look at it. Remember, a klal of kras, a klal is you're taking the kras and you're finding other things that are in the same category as it. But not all four avodas are necessarily in the same narrow category as shchita. In one sense, zrika is more like it than the others. There's kores involving both of them bachot. In another way, kabbalah is similar to it because they both have to happen in the north and they both happen with chatoris apnimius. But you still don't have neither of those is going to include halacha. And one way or the other, you're going to be excluding the other one as well. Okay, the answer is ikolamei mahachi. Fine. So the answer is fine. Given that you're right, you have two ways of narrowing down that klala prata klal, but either one is equally compelling. Therefore, shkulenhein. Therefore, they're on an equal level. The other is shnei, so you end up learning both of them. So yes, you could say, in other words, what you wind up with is that you wind up with that given that if you were to narrow down the category of the craft in one way, you would be including Kabbalah. If you narrowed it down in another way, you would be including Zrika. Okay, well, then you include both Kabbalah and Zrika.
Yeah, but you need both opinions.
And that's, what? No, well, that's it. The idea of a klal of prat klal is you're trying to find a category of things that are in the same category as the craft. So you're saying over here, yes, but you have two different ways of drawing your, so to speak, you know, it's imagine like you were to do a Venn diagram. You have one Venn diagram that will include shchita, you know, you have one circle in the Venn diagram that will include shchita and zrika, but exclude the other two. You have another one that will include shchita and kabbalah, but exclude the other two. Okay, so you use both circles, so you wind up including three out of the four. Because you have no reason, you have no logical reason to choose one of those circles over the other.
Yeah, but one opinion doesn't hold of the other. They
still oppose. It's not one opinion. It's not one opinion doesn't hold of the other. We're not talking different opinions over here. We're saying each one of them can be included in the zicha class for a different reason. One because it involves kodesh bachot. One because it involves tzofa and chatoris apnimius. So now you've included both of those circles, and now you've covered three out of the four avodas. And Rashi adds, through that, once we include Kabbalah as well, then, like the Gemara said on Omar Aleph, since you have the same word, since you have the ikriv, the same verb, the hikriv, used for Kabbalah as for halacha, then that gives us halacha as well. So there we go. By doing that, we have all four of them.
Since you use Hikri, Kabbalah, and Halacha.
Right. So in other words, what we're doing is like this. What we're saying is, again, when we try to figure out what's included in the Prat, what's included in the Prat together with the Zicha, on the one hand, we can, I'm looking at it from one perspective, we can include Zicha. Looking at it from another perspective, we can include Kabbalah. And once we include Kabbalah, then automatically we're including Halacha as well, because Kabbalah and Halacha are both described with the same word, the Hikri. So there you go. And since you don't have any reason to prefer one over the other, as Tosfos points out, the fact that you have two avodas you're including in one circle versus one avoda in the other is not reason enough to prefer one over the other when it comes to establishing what's the class that includes the prat. So therefore, you wind up including all four of them. Lishnachri, or another version of that last word, b'chadachad, take over milta, another version of that, is that each one individually stands in its place. It's another way of phrasing the same thing. That you have, again, one way of setting up the class to include one of them, one way of setting up the class to include another one. Each one has its similarity with Zita, with Shita. And therefore, that's it. So therefore, you end up including both of them because there's no reason to exclude either one.
Yeah, if you cover both, then you include all the
four others. Yeah. By your thing, or yet another possibility is Zikr, the Dravashi Nafka. Yet another possibility is we don't need the Kual of Prat, the Kual to include Zikr, because we have the Ashi's Limud earlier on the Amud from the Nirsaloy Lachater. So therefore, if we're going to say so therefore we can argue like this. Another way of learning it is we need Rav Ashi. We have the process Zevach Todes Shlomo to teach us Zricha. We have Rav Ashi's limud from the Nirsaloy Lachaper to tell us Zricha, and then we have Ravina's Kala Prophetal to also add Kabbalah and Halacha. So then we don't have to say anymore that we're including two different circles. We can say that after all, we're only including one thing, Kabbalah and Rifid Halacha, because they go together. And therefore, that's it. If you look at it that way, then you don't have to say anymore that, well, we have two of them that are on an equal level, and therefore we end up picking one because we can't exclude either one. We can say one of them we don't need, this call across the call at all. We have Rav Ashi's limud.
I can do it this way also, yeah. Right.
Okay. Fine. So far, so good. Now, Ashkechon Eil Nazir, fine. So we see that this concept applies by the ram that's brought by a Nazir as a Shlomim, Sar Shlomim and Olam. Where do we know that the same concept of Shini Bailim applies by other kinds of Shlomim as well? So he came in Nelach Eil Nazir, so you're going to say the obvious answer is you make a Binyan Av from the Eil Nazir. Can't. Mala Eil Nazir, Shkem Yeshimon, Domim Acherim. Because the Eil Nazir is special, there are other Korbanos brought with it. An Eil Nazir isn't brought by itself. When the Nazir finishes his Nazirus, he's bringing three Korbanos, a Chatos, a Shlomim, and an Ola. As opposed to a typical Shlomim comes by itself.
Right.
Okay, the answer is in Ken, yes, but... What?
So it doesn't compare.
Right. The answer is yes, but if you were going to say that you can't learn from the Eil Nazir, in Ken Yichter Shalmei, or actually Shittim Kabbat, this changes it to Shlomim. Whatever changes it to Shlomov. That what it is that if the prophet wanted to tell us that it applies, that this din applies only to the Eil Nazir and does not apply to any other Shlomim, then like this, instead of saying that the Ayo Yafa Zevach Shlomim, where the word Shlomim is a generic term meaning any Shlomim, it would say Yafa Zevach Shlomov, that he should prepare it as his covenant of Shlomim. And if it phrased it that way, we would say that, yes, that did only apply to his shlomim, which is a special shlomim because it brought with two other korbanos. My shlomim, why instead does it use the word shlomim, which is a generic term? Lulav is called shlomim, therefore it comes to include all other shlomim are in that same category.
Yeah.
Okay. Ask a
question.
Otherwise, we would have said shlomim, exactly. Okay, so now we find that din of Shinri Bailim applies to Shlomim, Shalko Kodshim and Nolan. How do we know it applies to all other Kodshim as well? Because it came in Nelach and Shlomim. So again, you're going to say, okay, make a binyan out from Shlomim. If it applies to that, it applies everywhere else. Can't Mala Shlomim, because Shlomim are special, because as the Gemara said before, so can turn in Smicha, Unisachim, and Smicha, because of the faith. But Shlomim has three differences from other Korbanos. namely that it from certain other korbanos, that is, it needs smicha. You have to lean on it before it's shechted, as opposed to Rashi says you have certain most korbanos do need smicha. It's true, but a bechor, ma'is the behema, a korban pesach, none of those need smicha. Unisachim, also a shlomim and certain other korbanos required nisachim, a korban mincha with oil and flour and wine is brought together with it. Again, a bechor, a ma'iser, a pesach, and certain other korbanos don't need nisachim. And a tnufas chazer asrei. So the third thing that shlomim has different than many other korbanos is that the chest and the thigh of it are raised by the owner and the kohen together before they're given to the kohen to eat. Most korbanos don't have that. So again, maybe you could argue, fine, a shlomim has those unique features, therefore, if you say that it has to be the same violin, maybe other korbanos, like the bechor, for example, which does not have any of those features, maybe shlomim violin, by it doesn't matter.
The bechor?
Yeah. By bechor, by meiser, by pesach, yeah. So Rashi points out, the one about smicha, you have, there's only three korbanos that don't require smicha, bechor, meiser, and pesach. You have other korbanos that require.
What about the
don't require this? What?
What about the seder of Yom Kippurim? It also requires smicha.
Right. We're not talking so much about korbanos. We're not talking so much about korbanos tzibur. There's very few korbanos tzibur that require smicha. But when it comes to korbanos yachid, keep in mind here we're talking about shinui bialim anyway. I mean shinui bialim. The truth is actually it's interesting. That I'm not Tirush Mishnayis. Says that maybe the whole concept of shinui bialim doesn't even apply to korbanos tzibur because the bialim of them are a tzibur. It's not really relevant to talk about shechting and have in mind somebody else. Different rishonim and achronim talk about the pros and cons of that, whether it could be shinui bialim by a korban tzibur. But yeah, be that as it may, most korbanos tzibur don't require smicha. Most private korbanos do, but among private korbanos, bechor and meiser and pesach. So, among private korbanos, even some of the ones that require smicha don't require nesachim, namely a chatef and an asa. And as far as chaz of the shayt, there's no other korban other than a shlomim and a todo, which is a special type of shlomim, that requires chaz of the shayt. So again, shlomim is unique, is more or less unique in those ways. Maybe therefore, this is the din about shinui bialim applies only to them.
Chaz of the shayt.
That you take the chest and the right leg of the animal and then put the fat together with them, the fat that's going to be burnt on the Mizeach, and the kohen and the owner hold them together and wave them in all directions, and then the fat is burnt on the Mizeach and the chazah and shirk are given to the kohen. You only have that by shlomim and shirkah. You don't have that by any other korban. No, the reason why this din of shinui bialim applies to other korbanos as well, because the pasuk says, "Zoisa tora la'ola v'lamincha." This is the tora for the ola and the mincha, v'lachatas v'la'asham, v'lamiluim, and for the inauguration korbanos when the mishkan is being dedicated, all the zevach haslamim, and for the korban slamim. So therefore, in other words, we have a hekesh between all the different types of korbanos. Hikishin akasav v'slamim means the tora is making a hekesh between all the other types of korbanos and slamim. Just like when it comes to the shlomim, as we've been establishing all this time from these various psukim, that both when it comes to the type of korban and when it comes to the owner, you have to have the shma, and if it doesn't, then it's disqualified. Of course, the same thing applies to all the other korbanos as well, that shinui kodesh and shinui bialim apply to them as well. Mind you, I mean, the pasuk doesn't even mention bechor, meiser, and pesach. However, later on, the Gemara explains that you have the following pasuk after that. In Pasuk Tav, there's a following pasuk after that mentioning la'akrivas korbanehem, that Hashem commanded Moshe that the Jewish people should bring their korbanos, meaning, in other words, that this rule includes even other korbanos that are not mentioned in the pasuk. So therefore, so you have a hefesh between all of them and shlomim, that all of them, shinui kodesh or shinui bialim, will make them possible. Fine. So now that we've established that they're possible with shinui kodesh and shinui bialim, now we have to deal with. But after all, our Mishnah said that most korbanos are not actually really possible in that case. Just that they're loyal to the bialim, they don't count for the owner to fulfill his obligation. But nevertheless, they still are a kosher korban. So now we have to address that point. Shouldn't we say then that maybe if you shecht it or did any of the other avodas shalodashma, that should be completely possible? Where are you getting the idea that it is kosher, and just that it doesn't count for the owner? The answer is amakram,
what? It's not dam nishma. Where do you get the idea it's not kosher?
That's the point, right. So like this was saying that we have, so after all, after we've gone through all of this, we finally figured out, therefore, that the code that says that all the avodas have to be done with shma, so far as shame and so far as violence. So now we've got to ask them, well, then what makes us say that it should be sort of this hybrid situation, where if it was done for lo lishma, with most other karbanas, it'll be kosher, it just won't count for the owner. Where are you getting that from? And the answer is, as Gemara says, which is mentioned at the beginning of the book, what?
That's what we said yesterday. We mentioned that it's not kosher if you don't do it lishma, but we didn't explain it why.
Well, we said all the way in the Mishnah. We said all the way in the Mishnah that kolos vachem shenizbuchu shloi lishman, we said are kosher, but they're not oil violence. So that's what we have to figure out. Now that we finally went through this whole thing, and I'm going to Aleph and over here to establish that Shini Kodesh and Shini by that Lashma as far as Kodesh and Lashma as far as Bailim are essential, then how do we know that they weren't done, that the Korban is still kosher in most cases? The answer is Amakra, because the Pasuk says, and we quoted this at the beginning of the Masechta, Moitus Masecha Tishma Vasitak Asher Nadazur. Remember, the Pasuk says, what came out of your lips, you should take care of, and you should do as you vowed, as you made a neder, and the pasuk finishes off as you vowed to Hashem and Dava. And as the Gemara said about Hashem and Dava neder, who, what do you mean by finishing off with the word Dava? When the pasuk started by mentioning a neder, and a neder and a Dava are two completely different things, because again, one is an obligation on the person, and one is an obligation on the animal.
Right.
Ella, so no, what we learn from that passage is, as we said, on days on the days, in Tamashan Adarta Asisa, if you actually accomplished, if the korban was actually brought as you originally vowed, Yehei Neder, then good, it counts as a Neder, and you fulfilled your obligation. In love, Yehei Nedava, if not, then it becomes a Nedava, it's still a cost of the korban, however, you're not Yehei with it. So therefore,
well,
that's where you learn that concept. What?
The mice determines whether or not it's a Neder or a Nedava.
Right, exactly. So like this, in other words, the pasuk is implying that you have a way in which korban that was supposed to have been brought as a neder instead becomes an adava. And how is that? If it was done for lo lishma.
And you're not yotze.
Right, that's the point. Not yotze, in other words, it becomes an adava is another way of saying you're not yotze, right? Right. Okay, so then the question is, so now we have two pesukim that teach us this concept, that shinui makes it, that shinui makes it possible. But possible, but not possible. So why do we need both pesukim? It's just Moitzus Pesach, but it's just Reis HaTorah. We need this pasuk that we just mentioned about keeping your neder, and we need the pasuk that we just quoted before, where it makes a hekesh between all the other korbanos and shlamim. Because Rachmana Moitzus, because if we only had the one pasuk Moitzus Pesach, Havamina, then you would think to say Lo Yadav Amai Kosei Rachmana, Lo Yadav Amai. We wouldn't know what this pasuk Moitzus Pesach is referring to. Fine, the pasuk is telling us that whatever you vowed, you have to keep. And there could be a case where somehow that neder turns into an adava. But we wouldn't know. The pasuk I'm saying, well, not a voida of the korban. We would have no way of knowing, if it were only for the pasuk Moitzus Pesach, that the key thing, what is it that turns a neder, which you're yotze with, into an adava, which doesn't, is something that goes wrong in the avoda, based on the pasuk Moitzus Pesach. You wouldn't know that. You would know, fine, well, somehow that one can turn into the other, but you wouldn't have a source to say, Kosei Rachmana Zayta Torah. Therefore, the pasuk gives us the hekesh between the other korbanos and shlamim. And once we established before that, when it comes to shlamim, all four avodas have to be done with shma, as far as the name, as far as the type of korban, and as far as the owner, then the hekesh teaches us what is the case in which other korbanos, as when it's the slumim or any other carbon, will become possible, or rather won't be oil of Bailam, won't count for the owner, where a nether turns into an endeavor, that will be if one of the four avodas was done for lo lishma. The ikos vachon is zoyta Torah. On the other hand, if the Torah only told us the word zoyta Torah, you know, the pasuk zoyta Torah, havam in a witzulu. If you only had that pasuk, you would think they're outright possible if they're done for lo lishma. And in fact, of course, they're not, because they are kosher. That is why the pasuk, or that's why the Torah also had to give us the pasuk Moses Vasecha to teach us that the korban doesn't become completely possible; it just changes from a neder into a nedava.
If Moses Vasecha, you have to implies what exactly? That if you don't...
Moses Vasecha by itself would teach us that there can be a case where what you thought you're bringing as a nether and you're yosei, your nether, which actually becomes a nedava and you're not. But that pasuk by itself wouldn't tell us how that comes about. You wouldn't have any way of knowing from that pasuk that it comes about specifically if one of the avodas was done to lo lishma.
And therefore you need the Torah.
So therefore you need the Zohar Torah to teach us. Why are the other Karbonos being compared to Shlomim? What's the point of that? Is the fact that we said before that by Shlomim everything has to be done Lashma. So therefore that teaches us what will it be that makes the Karbon semi-possible in the sense that it won't count for the owner is something having to do with one of the Avodas being done Shlomim Lashma.
Right.
But on the other hand, if we only had that pasuk by itself, the hekesh with shlomim, you wouldn't know this concept that it's still kosher and it just doesn't count for the owner. You'd think it's completely possible. So therefore we need the Moses Vasecha to teach us it doesn't become completely possible. It just changes from a neder with which you were yoter to an adava with which you're not.
But it's the same as saying it's possible. I mean, it's not a korban and an adava.
No, absolutely not. That's what we said in the Mishnah. That the difference is, when it's kosher, it means you still continue doing the rest of the avodas with it. And in fact, we actually said on the Mishnah that even if it's a korban, like a shlomim, where it's supposed to be eaten, the people can still eat from it, the kohenim still eat their portions, the owner still eats his portions. All it is the owner wasn't yoseh, and he has to bring another korban.
In other words, he doesn't get a kapara from it.
Well, but the shlomim, he doesn't need kapara per se, but yeah. Right, I mean, so, right, kapara is really a tricky thing. I mean, remember, we said in the Mishnah, chatas in circumstances would be completely possible, so obviously he doesn't get kapara with it. But, and an ola, okay, the Gemara says later that an ola brings a certain degree of kapara as well. So fine, we could talk about an ola, but let's say we're talking about a korban that's going to be eaten, like a shlomim or a toga or what have you. They still eat it. Everything is done with it just like a normal carbon. All it is just if it was originally brought as a nether, then the owner is going to have to bring another one, as the Shittim Kabbalists pointed out at the beginning. If, after all, you did, to begin with, do it as an adava, to begin with, you said, Hadei Zushlamin, then that's it. You're not obligated to bring another one. And for that matter, if it's a Bechor or one of the other ones where once it's done, then there's no making up for it, then yeah.
Okay.
But in a case, when you said Hadei Olai, then another one would have to be brought up in order for you to be yoked to that Harei Olai, to be yoked to that Nedir. That's the point. But the carbon itself would still be kosher.
As an Adama.
Because of Moses Vasecha, right. As an Adama, right.
But as a Nedir, the owner would have to bring another one.
Would have to bring another one, exactly. Okay. Continue the Gemara. Rami Rishlokish Amma Oihi Ben Nedrisha. Rishlokish was lying on his stomach in the Bish Medrash, Umakshini asked the following question. Now, why is the Gemara making a point of mentioning that he was lying on his stomach? So elsewhere, Tosfos in Gittin that mentions, based on a story over there, that the Shlokish was fat, and therefore he would lie on his stomach because it was comfortable for him. Why the Gemara makes a point of mentioning it over here, I've seen a variety of different explanations. One of them is that even though it may show, like he was too weak and too tired or whatever to even have the energy to sit up, he had to lay down in order to be comfortable, and even so, he's still learning Torah. They talk about a variety, a couple of them first, and talk about a reme that we're dealing over here with the question of when a person eats. When a person eats, which after all is a form of with their stomach, which is a form of avodah, it's a form of korban. How lishma does it have to be, basically? If the person doesn't have the fully proper intention when they eat, is it, you know, how bad is it, basically? So by talking about that in connection with korbanos over here, Rishlokish is hinting to that idea. A number of different explanations. Okay, so the point is, he asked as follows. You're saying that these korbanos are kosher, but they don't count for the owner. It's not logical, he says. In kshedim hen yiratu, if the korban is kosher, then it should be acceptable, and it should be, the owner should be yotze his chov. And if it doesn't accomplish a ritzui, if it doesn't accomplish a kapara, why is it being brought in the first place? Exactly. Rashi, it's not that he doesn't hold of it. Rashi says he hadn't yet been made aware of that limud from the pasuk. Later on, the Gemara says, he realized it himself. But at this point, he didn't know that yet. He didn't understand what's the logic that on the one hand, you bring the curb, and on the other hand, it doesn't accomplish kapara. It's not so illogical. I can give you an example where a korban is brought after somebody passes away, where the korban is still kosher, even though the original owner passed away, the imiratim that doesn't accomplish a kapara because the person's already dead and in kapara mason. The kapara is not really relevant, at least on that level, for mason. So there is such a thing. It's not, namely, we learn in a Mishnah. If you have a woman who was supposed to bring a woman who gave birth, where she has to bring two karbanas, she has to bring a chatos and an oila, it's at the beginning of this week's parasha. So if she brought her chatos and then she died, yavir yosin oilosa, then her heirs should continue by bringing the oila. The oila is not going to accomplish any kapara for her because she's already dead. Doesn't matter, they bring it anyway. Oh, lost the umay. So on the other hand, if you brought Ola first, what?
They have to bring it?
The pashtos. I mean, it was already designated as a carbon. The pashtos, they have to. But the point is that we don't say they should be potter from it because she can't get kapara anymore anyway because she's dead. No, we still say that. So there you have an example, says Rebbe Elazar. You see an example over there where even though a carbon is being brought and is a kosher carbon, it's not accomplishing kapara, so then the same thing in our Mishnah. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, Chatoso Mesa, but if it was the other way around, if she brought her Ola first, and then she died, Lo Yaviyu Yoshin Chatosa, then her Yoshin should not bring her Chatos, because you don't bring a Chatos after the owner died. You have a concept we've discussed before, Chatos, we discussed in earlier, Chatos to Mesa Bala, or Chatos where the owner died, we would say that's the Halacha Moshe Mishina, that such a Chatos is much to die, so therefore, in this case, the bird or the animal, whatever, that was supposed to be for the chatas, it's always a bird, actually, come to think of it, in the case of a year later. So that bird is being a chatas to make the bala, is going to have to be left to die. So, but that's not the point. The point was the first part of the mission that we quoted, that we see that they are able to bring her oila after she died. So there you go. You can have a carbon is being brought, even though no kapara is being accomplished by it. But nevertheless, it's being brought as a carbon. So the Shlokish answers Rebbe Elazar. Sure, fine. I can agree with you that an oila can be brought after a person passes away, because after all, you're right. You can bring an example. You do have an example over here where an oila can be brought after the owner passed away. And fine, the same thing would apply as far as a shlomim. However, awesome the way asilacham is in the. But where do you know? After all, our Mishnah had said that only a chatas and a pesach that are shechted shalei l'shmona apostle. All the other korbanos we said are kosher. All the others, including an asham. Now, an asham is not brought after the owner dies. Rashi brings over here a rule, which the Gemara is going to take up again on Amud Bey, that any of the five cases where if the animal were a chatas, it has to be left to die, all the five chataris and mesas, if a parallel thing happens with an asham, then instead of leaving it to die, you send it out to graze until it develops a womb, and then you use the money to buy an oila. So in other words, the point, and one of those five is where the owner died. So the Shlokish is arguing like this. When it comes to an asham, you don't have a person designated, a person set aside an animal for an asham because they have to bring it, and then they died. We don't say that the heir is bringing that asham because you don't. And kapara l'mesa, that person who passed away is not going to have their kapara through this asham anymore. Instead, we send that animal off to pasture until it develops a mum. So then, what's your logic? So you never have an example where you bring an asham that doesn't accomplish kapara. So what's the point then? So why over here should we say that you're bringing an asham which doesn't apply, where the person is alive, but it was shechted not as an asham, but as some other carbon, you have shinri asim, or you have shinri bailim. You're arguing that, based on our Mishnah, that you would still continue bringing it as an asham, just the owner is not yotze with it, and you need another asham. Why? Where do you ever find another example where you bring an osam that doesn't actually accomplish kapara? Well, right. In the same way as we don't find a lachamisa or any of the other cases where an osam is sent off the pastor, why over here? Why should there be a unique case over here where you bring an osam which is not going to accomplish kapara anyway?
Yeah, good question.
So Rav Elazar answers him, okay, Harei Machlois Chavit Bidur. Well, then, very well. You have, actually, in this Mishnah, you have an opinion that's on your side. Namely, in the Mishnah, Rav Elazar and Ma'at Asher. In our Mishnah, Rav Elazar said the same thing that applies to a Chassid, that it's possible if it was Shloi L'Shmar, the same thing applies to an Asher. Very well. That fits very well with your Svara. That, yes, you never find an Asher that's going to be brought where it doesn't accomplish Kapara. There you go. Rav Elazar is saying exactly that. An Asher that was set with Shloi L'Shmar, you're not gonna bring another carbon. It's completely possible. Omalay, so the Swatish answers so the Swatish says, all of Adam Gadol, who? Is this, meaning you, the Elazar, is this the kind of person of which people say he's a great person, he's a great Talmud Chacham? What kind of an answer is that? I'm mentioning to you a Stam Mishnah that only a Chatos is possible in this case. That's a miracle. You're answering me that you have the opinion of Rabbi Yezir that agrees with me? I don't want my opinion to disagree with Rabbi Yezir. I'm arguing, why is the Tanakhama saying that you bring the awesome in a case like this? Ella,
he doesn't want to argue.
Very well. You can say that Rabbi Yezir agrees with my Svara. But I'm asking, why is the Panakama saying his Svara? You're not answering me, but you're not answering me yet by telling me what Rabbi Yezir says. Elo, I'm just watching Eschach, I'm not Pischel and Asher. You can know this. What it says, rather, I'll open up an opening for myself. In other words, I brought up the question, I'll give an answer for why it is that you would bring it in that case. The passage that we said before, the same thing that we quoted before, that when the passage starts off by mentioning the passage that starts by mentioning Nedir and then continues with Nedava, exactly that. The Shlokas hit on that independently, this limud that we were saying before in the Gemara. So there we go. We have a clear source in the passage that you have something that should have been, that was meant to be broader than Nedir and instead turns into a Nedava. So there you go then. So we see that there is this concept that kavanas are brought that kavanas are brought even if they don't accomplish kapara.
Moshe Sasecha, Rish Lakish didn't know of it before.
Before he didn't know of that limud. Now he realized that limud.
How did he suddenly realize about that?
I don't know. Doesn't say. But he figured it out. And the real question, of course, is that we're learning from the word neder, and an awesome by definition can't be broader than neder. But nevertheless, right. Though, Rishlokas is saying, fine, but at least we have a source for the basic idea. We have a source for the basic idea that a carbon can be brought even though it's not accomplishing. That is, even though it's not accomplishing kapara.
You mean Moshe Sasecha goes for a neder, but it's still a source.
Moshe Sasecha goes for kabbonis, but can be broader than neder, right? It doesn't really seem to address kabbonis that can't be broader than neder, so it's an awesome. But okay, at least we have the basic concept. The basic concept that you have a carbon that was supposed to be brought, that was supposed to be brought, and then it is brought shalom l'shma, but therefore it's still kosher. Fine. So the Shlokas can say. So the Shlokas can say that it applies across the board, unless a case such as Chatas where the Torah tells us otherwise that's completely possible, we'll assume that it's kosher.
So we have a source.
The Gemara is going to mention that concept later. The Gemara is going to mention later that. What it is once we have the positive motives for Sefer, the default assumption with any the default for any carbon is that you can bring that it is valid when it's below the smart, just that it doesn't count for the owner, unless the positive specifies otherwise, that it's completely possible, as it does with the Chafas and as it does with the Chafas on the paper.
Because of motives for Sefer?
Because of motives for Sefer, right. So even though that pasuk, is only talking about neder and nedava, but we generalize from it that it applies to other karbonos as well. Yosef Rav Zeira Rav Yitzchak Ba'aba. One time Rav Zeira and Yitzchak Ba'aba are sitting together. Yosef Abaya Gabayu. Abaya is sitting together with them. The Yasir Ba'amri. So they're sitting and saying like this. Kashalei L'Rish Lakish Osam. Actually, the Gemara itself is asking the point. Kashalei L'Rish Lakish Osam B'lei Osir La'acham Misa. What is this? The Shlokish is wondering about an Osham. Where we find that an Osham is not brought after the owner died. The Nosav Latamuda Moitzes Vasecha. What is he learning? What did he end up learning from the passage Moitzes Vasecha? Moitzes Vasecha is referring to Karbonis that are brought in Nedu and Adava. And Osham is not. So Ema Habab Nedu and Adava Laisi Vlaisi. So maybe then fine, you're going to learn from Moitzes Vasecha. What you'll say is any Karbon that can be brought in Nedu and Adava, so an Ola, Shlomim, a Toda, all of those Laisi Vlaisi, fine, they're brought, but they're not accomplished. They're not the owner of that. Where are you getting from? Where are you getting from? Include an awesome and not an awesome. Repeat that. I didn't hear you very well. Okay, the question is exactly what we were just discussing a minute ago. You're telling me that what is this lock is doing? He started by asking how you can bring a korban if you're not machaper. So Rabbi Yehuda tells him to find that you bring an oila. The Shlokish says, fine, an Ola I agree to, I'm wondering about an Osham. And eventually, the Shlokish figures out we have the passage Moses Fasecha. But Moses Fasecha is talking about Korbanos that can be brought, the Neder and the Dover, Korbanos that can be brought voluntarily. And Osham can be brought voluntarily. Right. So how is he learning from Moses Fasecha that this rule applies to an Osham? Maybe it only applies to Korbanos that can be brought voluntarily. Amalu Abaya answers them, the Shlokish Mahacha Pasach. You're right. Actually, the Shlokis is not learning only from the word from the pasuk Moses Vasecha. He's bringing in another pasuk as well. When we said that he learns from Moses Vasecha, we kind of got into the middle of what he's saying. He says like this: the pasuk is the Shachat Oisal L'Chatas. Like this, you have the pasuk says that he should shech it as a chatas, and later on the Gemara explains. So here we're just mentioning it incidentally. Oisal L'Shmach says this below the Shmach Sula. Why did the pasuk have to specify Oisa it? By the chatas, that's a mute, saying that only if the chatas has to be brought with shema, and if not, then it's completely possible. I'm talking about mute, because shav kodshin for this one claim. That itself implies that other korbanos, by where it doesn't say oisa, are kosher. Yochol yirasu, so you would think, okay, in that case, if they're kosher, then they should be completely kosher, and the owner should even be yotze. So therefore we're going to learn from Moses Vasecha. So the Shlokas is using two pesukim. One, the very fact that we needed a miut in the case of chatas, that it's completely possible for shloi l'shma. So that teaches us, therefore, that other korbanos, that's not true. And now, on the other hand, in order to that we shouldn't think that... What?
That teaches other korbanos?
Since it says oisa by the chatas only, that means only the chatas is possible for shloi l'shma.
Right.
So that's part one of his argument. Therefore, that tells us that there's a difference between chatas and everything else. A chatas for leiv shmar is possible, but any other korban is kosher. Now, the second part of his argument is, well, if it's kosher, then it should be kosher across the board, and the owner should be yotzer with it. Now he's bringing in the pasuk Moses Vasecha to say that no, the owner is not yotzer with it. But therefore, how is he saying that Osham is included in Moses Vasecha? He's not. Osham is not excluded by the oisa of chatas.
So there's really two letters.
Once we have the oisa of chatas, it teaches us the difference between chatas and every other carbon meaning an osham as well. So therefore, an osham is kosher if it's kolay l'shma, because it doesn't say oisa by it. Now, the only thing we have to ask is that maybe it's mechaper, and the answer is that Moses Vasecha teaches us the not.
And he has to bring another one.
Well, right. Well, now the question is, let's take the opposite tack then. Right. The Ema HaBob and Negev and Adrava Laisi V'Lavisi. Fine, maybe let's argue the other way around. Maybe from Moses Vasecha, we learn that any korban that can be brought voluntarily is, in such a case, when it was done shloi l'shma, you bring it as a valid korban, but it's not merase, it's not, he's not yotze his chayv. Osham nami arsuya nami lirti. maybe just the opposite. Maybe we should assume that when it comes to an ashram, it is completely merasif. Given that we don't have, given that it's obviously not included in, given that it's obviously not included in the in Moses Fasecha, because not Bob and Nedir and the Dava, maybe what you have is three levels. Maybe you have a half of Tosol Shlomo. The Karbonis that are Bob and Nedir and the Dava are kosher, but they're only in that Yotze. And an Ashram is kosher in your Yotze. And the Shidam Kabetas points out, I mean, before we were thinking to say that maybe you shouldn't bring an Ashram at all in this case, now it's the opposite. Now we're kind of going to the other extreme and saying maybe it should even be Mechaper. The reason is, now that we brought in that business about Oysa, that teaches us that now we have, there's something unique about a Chassas as compared to any other carbon. So therefore, now we have a stronger reason to say that now we have a stronger reason to say that in that case, an Ashram should also be accepted from the general run of Karbanas. And therefore, that it should be, that it should not only be kosher in a case like this, but even be menasseh.
You should be yotzeh.
Yes. The answer is, Omer Abaye, Ashram the mitzvah and Moses Amrit. No, you can't say that in a case like this, that an Ashram should be able to be mechaper for the person when it was brought to the Shema. Because you have a logical thing. Kavachomer me'ola, because you can make a kavachomer based on what happens in an ola. An ola which does not really accomplish kapara, an ola accomplishes a slight kapara, sort of. We'll see on other days, the Gemara gets to what exactly an ola accomplishes, but basically it doesn't really accomplish kapara. For the most part, a person brings an ola as a voluntary thing. Eina merasa, and if we're saying if it's not brought l'shma, then it's not merasa, it means not yotze his chayv. Ashram from a chaper, well, an ashram which was accomplished as a kapara for certain averus, for shvuas at the kaden and for hefdesh and shivcha harova and so forth, ain't a din she ain't a merasa. How much more so that it shouldn't be merasa if it was brought shalal shema? So based on that kavachonda, so you're right. You can't learn that an ashram is possible in that case from moitzas vasecha. But once we know that it applies to an ola, how much more so it should apply to an ashram? The question is, Mala Ola Shekhen Kolo. Okay, but an Ola has a different stringency over an Ashram, namely that it's completely burnt on the Mizbeach. So maybe, you could argue that therefore, because of that, therefore it also has to be, therefore it's not Mizbeach, it's not Yotze, maybe an Ashram, yes. Okay, the answer is Shlomim, Yechichu, fine. Prove it instead from Shlomim. A Shlomim doesn't bring Kapara either, and a Shlomim is not completely burnt on the Mizbeach, and yet we establish based on Moitzes Vasecha that it has to be Lishma. Okay, Mala Shlomim Shekhen Tu'un in Nisach and Nukas Chaz V'Shoik. Again, though, Shlomim has something special over an Ola. Namely, again, it requires Nisach, over an Ashram. It requires Nisachim, which an Ashram doesn't. It requires the Chaz V'Shoik, the chest and the side to be waved, which an Ashram doesn't. So you can't prove from Shlomim. And the answer is Ola Tashiach. Fine, you can go back and prove from Ola, which doesn't need Chaz V'Shoik either. So the chazer again, so it goes back and forth, as the Gemara does this kind of thing in many places. The unique qualities of an ola are not the same as the ones of a shlomim, because a shlomim is not completely burnt. The unique qualities of a shlomim are not the same as an ola, because a shlomim requires chazer shoik, and the ola doesn't. But what do they have in common? Same kodshim, that they're both kodshim, the sochtan for the shman kredim. But if you sechtan for the shman, they are kosher, they're in monastic, however the person is not yotzeh. Apani, of the ashram, by that logic, by that tzadah shavah, we can bring in an ashram, shahu kodesh, which is also kodshim, the sochtan for the shman kosher, they're in monastic. So we can learn it that way. We can learn it from a combination of ola and shlam.
Through a tzadah shavah.
From a tzadah shavah. But the question is, Mala Tzadah Shavah Shavahan Shekhen Yeshna B'tzivur. Okay, but you have a different Tzadah Shavah between an Ola and a Shlomim. There is such a thing as an Ola of the Tzivur, and there is such a thing as a Shlomim of the Tzivur on Shavuot. You have Zivchei Shalmei Tzivur. Whereas you never find an Oshem of the Tzivur. You could argue, as long as you find some kind of hook between things that you're trying to learn from a Tzadah Shavah, then you can break it apart. An Ola and a Shlomim are brought the Tzibur as well, so you could argue, maybe because these are types of Kobanis that are brought the Tzibur, maybe therefore if you bring them Shalai L'Shma, then it's Tosher and Menasseh. But an Asham, which is weaker, because you only bring it for a Yachid, you never have an Asham for the Tzibur, maybe therefore it should be, maybe you should be Yachid, for we've done Shalai L'Shma.
Here
we go. Fine. No, so we're trying to prove from a combination of Ola and Shlomim. what we're saying, yes, that Ola and Ashlamim are both Kodshim, that's true. But on the other hand, they're Kodshim that can also be brought on behalf of the Sibur. Whereas an offering is not.
So the difference is...
Right. As long as we can find some difference, then that's enough to break apart. You can prove instead from a toda, where a toda is never brought for the civil either, and also you see that a toda has to be brought for the it has to be brought for smart. Okay, so the question then becomes, now the toda is a kentron alachan. Okay, but a toda is unique in that it has to be brought together with loaves of bread, and Oshem doesn't. So the answer is Olo Shlomim Yechichur. Again, you go back to Olo and Shlomim, they don't have to be brought with bread either, and the same din applies to them. So again, the Chazradin. So we have a three-way limud from a combination of Ola and Shlomim and Toda. You can't say that it's because they require smicha. That all of them require smicha. You can't say it's because they require. You can't say it's because they require Chaz of the Shoyt, and Ola doesn't. You can't say because they're completely burnt. A Shlomim and a Toda aren't. You can't say that it's because they're Korban a Sibur as well. A Toda is not. So the Chazradin. We go back and forth. Lo the Izeki Izev, Lo the Izeki Izev. Each one. Quality is different than the other. Asada Shavas Ramsha and Kodshim, but all three of them are Kodshim. The Shaft of Shalavish one, Kosova and Murasa. But if you set them Shalavish one, they're Kosova and it's not Murasa. Afani are the Oshim. So then by that logic, we can also include the Oshim through Kodish, the Shaft of Shalavish one, Kosova and Murasa. Okay, the problem then becomes Mala Asada Shavas Ramsha can burn. What?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Malach Sada Shabbos Adonis can burn the Nether and the Dover. Okay, but you have something else then, that all three, an Ola and a Shlomim and a Toda have in common. They can all be brought voluntarily. And Oshem can't. So how can you learn from the three of them? Ela, Omer Rava, so Rava says, you're right. Never mind the Sada Shabbos. We're going to learn again from the Heklish that he said before, he goes for Torah of the Dover, the passage that lists all the Karbonis. He kissed the Akos of the Shlomim, but the Torah therefore is making a Heklish between all Karbonis and Shlomim. Mas Shlomim chain kodshim the shachtim shalom shlomim to train in the emberatim, just as Shlomim are a type of kodshim, and if you shachtim shalom the shlomim they're kosher and not emberatim. Afani are the osham, so we call this shalom. So the same thing, we can include in an osham as well. Once we have a hekesh, in the shivan ala hekesh, you can't break apart a hekesh as easily by pointing out that they have dissimilarity. The very fact that the Torah put them all together in one process shows that they all have a certain commonality,
as opposed to the tzadah shava.
A tzadah shava is a more logical thing. So if you find some logical reason to break it apart, then you do that. A hekesh is less of a logical thing. It's very psychotic. Put them all together in the pocket. Okay,
even if they have dissimilarities,
even if they don't have anything in common other than that they're all kashim, right? Okay, the only problem with that is that pocket, Zay Fatura, also mentions the chatas. So how do you know the Hekesh is to the Shlomim? Maybe the Hekesh is to the Chatas, and therefore they're all possible if there's Lo Shema. So my Chod is to access the Shlomim. What makes you say that you make the Hekesh between all the other Korbanos and Shlomim? Access the Chatas. Maybe make the Hekesh with the Chatas and say they're all outright possible if you bring them to Lo Shema. The answer is Homi Yitzrachman Oysa. Yes, but we have the word Oysa by the Chatas, and that teaches us that only the Chatas, that word Oysa teaches us that there's a special rule that applies only to the Chatas, where it's completely possible to Shalom Lishma, and that rule does not apply to any of the other Korbanos. So that word Oysa tells us don't apply the Hekesh, don't try to use the Hekesh to compare other things to the Chatas. Nothing else is comparable to the Chatas. Therefore, the Shabbat of Hekesh has to be with a Shlomim, where we know we know on the one hand the concept that Shimon Kodesh and Shimon Bailim make it possible, but on the other hand make it that it's not, that he's not Yotze, but on the other hand that it remains actually kosher in this, that he's not Yotze. So that's it. That's how we establish the answer to the Shlokas' question, why should an Oshem be brought if it's not going to be Mechafer anyway, because we have a Hekesh between it and because we have a Hekesh between it and Shlomim.
And the Hekesh, you cannot shrug it up because they're not exactly the same.
Right.
As opposed to the Tzadah Shava.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Fair. So tomorrow evening we'll see. We'll see what we'll do. I'd ask Rabbi Hill this time. He said he might be able to do it. If he can, then good. And if not, then I'll do the same thing again if it was satisfactory this time.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. It's very satisfactory.
Okay. Okay.
Very good.
So I'll see. If he's available still, then maybe I'll ask him to do it because I think it's still better in person. But if not, then I'll do the same thing again tomorrow. So
Where are you? You're in Fahrenheit or not?
No, I'm out of town.
Ask him and text me tomorrow and let me know.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night.